Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
How's the walking going, buddy?
I did a lot of practicing this weekend. I think it's going pretty well. I still have to consciously think about it, but my mom even had some tips for me. She said, keep your feet a little closer together.
Wide?
Yeah, it was a lot wide.
Your power stance.
Chin up.
Okay, yeah. You look good.
Yeah, hips forward.
I think for you, again, the key is in the chin. If you can keep your chin is up, parallel to the floor, that seems
about that.
To correct everything else.
Everyone seems to be thinking that I'm walking much more like a normal person now, which is great.
And Pauly stop being self-conscious about being tall.
Pauly was saying, Chrisella was talking about it on Friday and said, I had never even noticed. I'd known him for 30 years and didn't even notice that he walks funny. But you guys noticed, you've noticed for years and you didn't say anything.
Since the day we met.
Yeah.
Walked out of the bar, I went, man, this guy walks weird.
The first time we met.
And he has terrible ideas about radio. This, I don't know if this is going to work.
He's got large calves, though.
He got huge calves, supple.
Thanks again to Craig Elston for joining us with some thoughts on the Padres. Again, I always caution, every offseason is going to look pretty bad at this point for most teams. I mean, unless you're the Toronto Blue Jays and you went out and signed Dylan Cease, you know, there hasn't been many moves made. The Padres are in the grouping with about 26 other teams that haven't done much yet.
And how many of those are for sale?
Is there any other teams that are for sale right now?
I don't think so.
I think only the Padres.
It's a wrinkle. Throws a wrinkle in there.
It does.
And of course you look at it and you go, well, they're not spending any money.
It does, but at the same time, you don't want to lower the value of a team you're about to sell.
Don't you? Not lower the value, but lower the price,
But if the Padres do anything like dramatically, like to lower payroll, aren't they going to damage the fan base? Isn't that the last thing you want to do?
That's the last thing you
want
to do.
I mean, you want a rabid fan base for a new owner.
But if you're... Do you not care even a little?
I don't think you care.
I don't think you care.
I mean,
put yourself in their shoes.
If your bids are, $150 million less, because it's like, I don't know, fans don't seem that excited about this team anymore, then you've just made a horrible mistake.
I think that's a very...
You want to keep the excitement for this team as strong as possible and show potential new owners what they're getting.
With minimal investment, though, if you're trying to get out, that has to be in question, right?
It's not a Ferrari. You know, like... They know what they're getting.
I mean, I don't expect the Padres to, you know, be giant players for big free agents. They're not signing Kyle Tucker. They're not
Kyle
signing
Schwarber.
You know, Alex Bregman. But I also don't think they're going to actively slash payroll this offseason.
Well,
Garrett Grubner has told us they're not.
They really can't.
And they can't.
They can't. That's the good news, is they can't.
Literally bringing back everybody that's under contract would almost, you know what I mean? It's almost like because of the raises that are built in.
Right.
It's like that, just bringing people back will be a raise in payroll.
Correct. So that
technically.
You can't let them off the hook with that.
right?
You got to add pieces. So I don't know. Look, you can caution fans. You're right. Fans can feel cautious. Fans can feel optimistic. Fans can feel despondent. I'm a little bit of both each and every day. I'm a little bit of all of them. You know, some days I'm like, hey, man, I can't wait to see what, you know, the team looks like. And then I'm like, until we get this thing sold and moving in the right direction, I'm going to feel a little bit uneasy.
We'll continue to follow the rumors and what everybody's saying about the team because we care and we want to know and get an idea of what the plan may be. But to say at this point, this offseason's terrible, you just don't know. You can't really make that judgment until March rolls around.
Yeah, March.
I mean, that's when you judge how the offseason went. You certainly can't on the first day of the winter.
I mean, I can confidently say the offseason hasn't gone great.
Yeah, it hasn't gone.
You lost the manager, you've announced a team sale. Like, it's been a rough offseason.
Fair.
Make no mistake.
It's fair.
I'm talking
more player acquisition-wise.
Sure.
There's nothing's happened yet. There's nothing to judge at this point. Other than Dylan Cease signed with the Blue Jays. You know, but you,
and
kinda,
you knew he was
you
gone.
You kind of knew he was gone, yep. And we were all pretty okay with that. All right, before we get to the Rondo Report, it is time to announce today's biggest fan. If you hear your name called, you will have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973 to qualify for the grand prize. 20 tickets, you and your friends, for a night in our Odyssey suite at a Padres game with all of the fan staff, catered by Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine. Today's biggest fan is, what's his first name? Brody from San Diego.
Michael
Brody from San Diego. I don't have it written down. Paulie just got the name. Michael Brody from San Diego, B-R-O-D-E. If that's you, you can call now, 833-288-0973. If you haven't heard your name called yet, it might be because you didn't put it into the drawing. You can do that by going to 973thefansd.com/biggestfan for your opportunity to win. All right, well, Brian picks up his phone. Paulie, you can get started with the Rondo Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Happy Monday, gentlemen.
Happy Monday.
Just one more Monday left in the year for us.
Mama.
How about that? All right, we'll get started here. A little college football. We've spent a lot of the morning talking about the college football playoffs and Notre Dame missing it out.
I'm excited.
Out on it.
So
yeah,
excited.
Alabama's
for it.
In.
Hey, congrats.
Sorry.
Roll Tide.
Sorry. Now, we did mention it briefly right before the start of Don't Do This, and it was timely then. Wanted to bring back the Holiday Bowl here in San Diego, getting ready to kick off on January 2nd. The teams were announced later yesterday. It's going to be Arizona versus SMU. Don't know how much to say on that you guys have, but
do you know what they used to call SMU when I was a little kid? Because I'm from Dallas.
What do they call them?
They said SMU. SMU stands for Smell My Underwear.
Smell My Underwear. So Arizona will be taking on Smell My Underwear.
I found that funnier than I thought I was going to.
I was a kid, you know, a kid like, oh, SMU, Smell My Underwear. All right. Southern Methodist University.
They will be playing in not just the Holiday Bowl. It is the newly minted Trust and Will Holiday Bowl.
We like that.
46th Holiday Bowl is going to be now known as the Trust and Will Holiday Bowl. I think, about a year ago when you guys took on the Trust and Will endorsements.
You know, it's funny because
business must have been good.
Ben was mocking me for not having an HSA, but I mean, your kids were like in their 20s before you decided to get a will or a trust.
Fair enough.
Mock.
It's a pretty good matchup. I mean, Arizona's ranked number 17. SMU had an 8-win season. Arizona opened as 1.5-point favorites. Now, 3.5-point favorites. So the early money coming in on the Wildcats. You know that Arizona fans from Tucson and Phoenix
They'll
are going to travel
here.
Very, very well to San Diego over the holidays. And it's the last bowl game of the season, January 2nd.
Late.
At 5 p.m. on Fox. So
last taste.
Has the Holiday Bowl ever been after New Year's?
No, this is the first time it's ever been after New Year's Day. It's almost always been in the window between Christmas and New Year's, but this is the first time it'll actually be played.
I feel like it's December 27th, like every
year. Yeah, or 29th or 28th. It's usually right around there, but this is a little bit different. Probably worked better for the TV windows for Fox, but that'll give it a good spot for people who are dying for a little more college football at the end of the year.
All right, we'll switch gears to the NFL. We'll probably save some more NFL talk for later this morning or even more tomorrow. There was Sunday Night Football last night. The Chiefs, I think they're not
cooked.
Dead yet,
they're
but
cooked.
They are on life support. I think the NFL said they had like a 15 or 16% chance of making the playoffs if they lost last night to Houston. They did. CJ Stroud and the Texans won 20-10 on Sunday Night Football. Part of the reason that the Chiefs lost is, well, you got to make your field goals, and they did have a missed field goal earlier in the game. I was actually watching this, and I go, that might have been the loudest field goal doink I've ever heard.
What does the end of a dynasty sound like? If you could put a sound to the end of a football dynasty, Paulie, what would it sound like?
Oh, it'll sound just like this. This missed field goal from Harrison Butker last night.
Operation clean and the kick. No good.
Jarring.
That's really jarring. Encapsulates the Chiefs' whole season.
That's what, listen to the end. They say exactly that.
Clean and the kick. No good. And that is Kansas City 2025.
Yeah,
perfect. I mean,
God,
they actually, I was looking at the numbers yesterday. They're really not any worse. In fact, in many ways, they're better than last year's team that went to the Super Bowl.
Crazy.
But they lose every clutch moment, every close call, everything. This, it's all catching up to them in terms of karma this year. The kicks that went in are hitting
about
the uprights.
The parity in the NFL, they're the weird team where, like, if, what is it, 15% chance of making the playoffs. If the Chiefs somehow got in, would it surprise you if they went on a run and won the Super Bowl?
Of course not.
Probably not.
Which is why Alabama will be your national champion.
100%. You have spoken that into existence.
And Travis Kelce dropped a couple of key, including one that he dropped right into the defense's hands for an interception. He looked sick, like, oh, this is how it's going to end for me this year. So, yeah, it's just not going well for the Chiefs, finally.
It was cold. It was in the 20s, yeah. I think, in Kansas City. So it sounded like the goalpost froze and shattered.
And then shattered. Do it again. I want one more time.
Operation clean and the kick.
Wasn't screwed in enough.
Right. I heard it on TV. I was watching live when that happened. I go, Jesus Christ. I was scared. I think it scared my dog.
Operation clean and the kick.
I was like, is that the loudest?
It's soothing for me for some reason.
You ever have one of those sliding doors and you throw like a ball into it? That's kind of what it's
like the screen door?
The glass sliding door. That's kind of the same.
Yeah. Clean and the kick.
And then it rattles the screen as well.
It's, so
it's
good.
Just
no good. And then you hear Chris Collins.
He goes, no good. Brilliant. All brilliant, right. Brilliant.
Finally, we will wrap it up in Hollywood. The 2026 Golden Globe Awards were announced. The nominations came out earlier this morning. I'll try to sum it up for you as best I can on the film side of everything.
Aha.
Yes.
The film side. The
film side went to one battle after another. They led the way with 9 nominations. Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Actor.
What a movie.
Sentimental Value in the film department had 8 nominations. Sinners with 7, followed by Hamnet, Frankenstein, and Wicked.
Hamnet. It's like Hamlet, but with an N.
Hamnet.
Hamnet.
It's Hamnet.
Catch all the ham.
It is Shakespearean.
Cast a wide net. Collect all the ham.
Hamnet.
And then on the television side, The White Lotus led everybody with 6 nominations. And then Walt Goggins was nominated. Amy Lou Wood was nominated from that one,
nice.
Followed by Adolescence.
That was really good.
That was the one that was taken all in one take.
Yes,
one
SWAT shot.
Like
yes.
Show, yeah, phenomenal. Only Murders in the Building and Severance all had 4 apiece.
Okay.
There were some snubs, of course.
Notre Dame.
Landman was like one of the biggest ones.
Landman was snubbed.
They were left out of the
not
TV
even Billy
categories.
Bob.
I have fallen in love with. I was literally last night. Come on, all right, wrap it up. Let's go to bed. Brush your teeth. Because there was a new Landman out. I like ran into my room, jumped in bed, and watched the latest very overwrought Taylor Sheridan Landman. But man, do I love some Billy Bob Thornton. He's driving with his wife, and they're driving to a funeral. And he fires up a cigarette. She's on his ass. He fires up a cigarette and she goes, oh, baby, am I driving you crazy so you had to smoke? He goes, you're driving me to suck the Freon out of an air conditioning unit, but I'll settle for a cigarette. And I was like, that's it for me. I'm done. He's brilliant in this show. Brilliant. It is very overwrought. So, like weeping at the grave of someone. Like, it's very, very
overwrought. Take it was too early for Pluribus to get any
nominations? They got a couple.
Oh, they did?
Rhea Seehorn was nominated.
Oh, nice.
And I think that landed under drama television, something
so
like that.
So hard to categorize shows nowadays.
Yeah.
Is it a comedy? Is it a drama?
Well, and then there were, like, some of the movies. Now, granted, I never know, like, the Oscar-nominated movies.
Yeah, I'm so far behind.
I've heard of a couple of them, but then, like, Marty Supreme was listed, and I don't believe that's the new Timothée Chalamet movie. I think it comes out on Christmas, and so it hasn't even been released yet, but it was nominated for the Golden Globes. Everybody that has already seen it that is part of that. There was one other noticeable thing this morning with the Golden Globe nominations. They have introduced a brand new category for Best Podcast.
Ooh. Did we make it?
We did not make it.
We're not really a podcast. We're a radio show.
No, true.
To some people, we might only be a podcast.
True.
If they listen on Apple or Spotify or anywhere else. The podcast nominations, Best Podcast, are Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard, Call Her Daddy with Alex Cooper, Good Hang with Amy Poehler, The Mel Robbins Podcast, Smartless, and Up First.
Hmm. All right.
It's our competition right there.
If you haven't seen the movie, One Battle After Another, The Other or Another, One Battle After Another.
Another.
Yes.
I highly recommend it. A lot of it is shot here, down by the border. It was shot in San Diego. Oh. We remember that, the Leonardo DiCaprio, Paul Thomas Anderson movie. Benicio del Toro, Sean Penn is such a demon in this movie. Leo's incredible. It's such a good movie, and so what a weird sub, you know, like a kind of an odd subject for a film.
Now, I saw it got some mixed reviews, but you are giving it a glowing review.
It is unbelievable. The acting in it is unreal.
Best picture category for musical or comedy. One Battle After Another.
Comedy.
Nouvelle Vague. No Other Choice, Marty Supreme, Bugonia with Emma Stone, and Blue Moon.
It's listed as a black comedy in its description.
There's some funny parts. Yeah, there's some parts where you're, I mean, but it's PTA. It's Paul Thomas Anderson. So the detail, the attention to detail, like in Boogie Nights and movies like that, I mean, it's staggering. Staggeringly great. It's long. I mean, it took me a couple days to get through, but it's really, really well done. Great film.
Michael B. Jordan got his first nomination for Sinners. I only point that out because that's the only movie of that its category that I saw.
I've not seen it. Is it a vampire movie?
Vampire, yeah. Yeah, it's really good, though.
But Weapons got some nominations as well, I think. Yeah. So.
All right, thank you, Paulie. Yeah. Appreciate it.
All right, it's a round of report.
Golden Globes, I think that's the one. Is that the one Nikki Glaser hosted last year? She's back for year two this year.
It's a more freewheeling awards show hosted by the Hollywood Foreign Press. They do the dinner and everything, and it's
did
TV.
Did they have a Navy Q&A? Like
they did
have.
Not, they I don't not? Think. No. Oscars is just the movies, but when the TV people are there, I don't know. To me, I'm more interested in TV now than I was.
I am too. No, I know all the TV shows. Yeah, by far. Even if I haven't seen them, I'm aware of them. I've seen them.
It's crazy. Crazy how it's flipped.
Best musical or comedy series, Abbott Elementary, The Bear, Hacks, Nobody Wants This, The Studio, Only Murders in the Building. Like, I've seen every one of those.
Yeah, I'll be locked in on those. As Bee's Knees says, Golden Globes is silly, not meant to be taken seriously, but I'll be locked the hell in. I will, too. I like the Golden Globes. Always a lot of fun.
All right, let's take a quick timeout. We'll give you the latest from baseball's winter meetings. Again, our Sammy Levitt's on the scene, so he'll pass along anything that happens, including supposed to hear from both A.J. Preller and Craig Stammen later today. We'll get to all that coming up after a quick timeout. Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Paulie just talking about the new title sponsor of the Holiday Bowl, the Trust and Will Holiday Bowl. We've been with Trust and Will now for, it's about a year. It was this time last year we were first approached and asked the question, do you guys have your estate documents, a will or a trust to take care of your family? And I think we both kind of said, why should we? We don't have that much to worry about. And they go, if you have children, you better have a trust or a will, something to at least give some instructions for your family, or they could be left in probate court, or worse, not have a guardian for your children if you're gone. You can do this all online and easily with Trust and Will.
Yeah, very simple to go to trustandwill.com. Use the code FAN, F-A-N, when you check out. You'll get 20% off your trust or will. Highly recommend looking into that trust as well. Keep your family out of a lengthy, expensive probate court. They make it very simple. And again, tell you every day about all the things I'm not great at. They make it very simple for folks like myself to go in. You answer some questions. You nominate some people. You get it all down there. Then they'll send you your documents. You get them notarized, and you throw them in the desk and forget about it. And it's there for your family after you perish.
Peace of mind is what you get, though. They get that for when you're gone. You get, while you're alive, the peace of mind of knowing that it's taken care of. And isn't that what we're all really chasing?
Yep.
Peace of mind. And, you know, 20% off is great as well. Just use the code FAN at checkout when you go to trustandwill.com for 20% off your trust or will. Again, at trustandwill.com.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Unless you count on Mike Soroka, there have been no big moves yet at baseball's winter meetings, but there's been plenty of speculation as to the first big chips that could be in play this week. Free agency, I think we've been talking for a while, Woods. Kyle Schwarber is one that is expected to sign early, maybe even during the winter meetings. Phillies remain the favorites to retain his services.
Now,
there are other bidders.
The Pirates went in and made a deal, or made an offer. Allegedly.
Yeah.
4-year deal, so, no terms.
So I'm glad
discussed.
You brought that up, because one of the things that is being talked about at these winter meetings that could actually make it harder to get deals done is there are very few teams that are truly like non-contenders. When you have the Pittsburgh Pirates at least throwing lip service at wanting to... Yeah, but they're not, you know, you don't see them necessarily going to be selling off a lot of players. Really, the only team that everyone's kind of circling around like sharks are the St. Louis Cardinals, are the team that doesn't look like they're going to be very aggressive this offseason, would certainly be interested in offloading salary. The other 29 teams are all at least ostensibly at this point in time wanting to add talent and get better for next season and think that they can reasonably
compete. The only ones in a rebuild?
They're not, I mean, obviously like the Rockies and the White Sox are still in the, you know, bottom stages, but they've hit rock bottom and they're looking to at least start the bounce back up, if not all the way to the postseason, to start, you know, adding and not subtracting at least. They've subtracted everything they probably can. I mean, Luis Robert Jr. could still get traded. There's still some possibilities out there, but most teams are in the adding stage, not the subtracting stage at this point. One name, though, that has been brought up a lot that could be traded, maybe even as soon as the winter meetings, is Ketel Marte of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I wonder, to me, there's some red flags there. Why are the Diamondbacks interested in trading Ketel Marte? He certainly had the situation where he was gone for a couple of days last year and, you know, dealing with things, and there were some reports that were coming out of the clubhouse as to...
Which were quickly squashed.
They were squashed,
by
yes.
guys like Perdomo and Torey Lovullo.
But the fact that they're entertaining offers to trade a guy who is as productive and consistently productive as he is just leads me to go, there's something not right totally between the Arizona Diamondbacks and Ketel Marte.
They're just... I think teams are just checking in, you know, is the report that I read. They're just checking in. When you see a crack in the armor, maybe that is... I asked AJ Preller this question many years ago. Remember I asked him about chasing ambulances, right? I asked him, I said, look, when you see a team's closer blow out his knee in the WBC, do you then place a call to their GM the day after and go, hey, sucks to see what happened with Edwin Diaz. Could I interest you in blank, right? You see a crack in the armor. And you go after it. Blood in the water. You, as a GM, you have to look at that and go, maybe they are unhappy with Ketel Marte there. Maybe he wants out. Maybe he wants a fresh start somewhere else. Does he think they're going to be a contender next year? You make a call. You know, I don't know. I think, Benny, there's really only a couple dozen guys in Major League Baseball who can wake up every morning and go, I'm not getting traded. Maybe a dozen, maybe 15 guys in baseball literally can wake up and go, I am here. You know, there's no way they can trade me. There's no way I would accept a trade. And there's no way anybody else can afford me.
Shohei, Aaron Judge.
Right. I mean, right. Bryce Harper. Harper, they talked about it, but he's got full no trade. Manny Machado's got full no trade.
They had friction with Dave Dombrowski in the offseason.
But I'm saying that wake up and go, this is it. This is where I'm at. This is where I'm going to finish my career. Xander Bogaerts is probably one of those guys. Knowing full well, he's probably until he's done.
I don't expect him to get traded, but I've heard at least fans bring up the possibility of, a return to the Red Sox or the Padres would eat money and sort of thing. I don't think the Padres would want to do that.
No.
It's certainly not the craziest thing that I've ever heard.
But you know, my overall point is that I do think I think you'd be crazy not to check in if you're one of those teams that you mentioned. I saw the Red Sox were interested. Who else? The Phillies, I think I saw were interested.
I feel like I've been hearing more on the sell side though from Ketel Marte.
Yeah.
That they're if not actively shopping him. They're making it known, at least, that they're listening to offers.
Red Sox, Rays, Tigers.
More than just picking up the phone. Like, okay, give us a call. Tell us what you think about Ketel Marte. The other team that does seem to be at least interested in shopping a couple of big-name players, and I think it's more because they're expiring contracts, are for our former friends Mackenzie Gore and C.J. Abrams with the Washington Nationals. If they get good offers for either of those players, or both, that they would be willing to perhaps make a move this offseason.
I saw one of the bigger trades of the weekend went down. Jose Ferrer went from the Nationals to Seattle for rookie catcher Harry Ford and minor league pitcher Isaac Lyon. Seattle just picked up a really hard-throwing lefty to complement Munoz and Brash in the back end of their bullpen. But it was a steep price. Ford was ranked the 42nd prospect in MLB. But yeah, man, they're going to have a really, really good bullpen again in Seattle to go with that really, really good starting rotation that they have in Seattle. So that was another little small move that was made over the weekend, but one I think will pay dividends for both.
And speaking of relievers, there seems to be a lot of smoke around Robert Suarez to the Dodgers. That you've been hearing a lot.
Dude, fantastic. On what planet are they going to lay out more money for a reliever after the Tanner Scott debacle?
They have the money.
Because you can't.
They have the money to
lay
out.
Well, I guess you can't use Yamamoto to close games in April, May, June, and July. I mean, they got the money to do it, but Friedman to follow up a 70, you know, what was it, 4-year 72, 5-year 72 for Tanner Scott. It did not work out at all. Then you're going to go out and get Robert Suarez? All right.
It's what you always say. The Dodgers are the one team with the ability to
make
swallow their mistakes, yep, and try again. And they actually do have $80 million coming off the books this offseason.
Crazy.
Which puts them in, at the very least, so an good, advantageous position compared to most teams that don't have nearly that much money.
That's what's coming off the books.
That's coming off the books.
And none of them really particularly key players either. It's just dead, a
who
lot
are
of
they?
Dead
Do you know
money.
Who they are off the top of your head?
Let's see. Dodgers money coming off the books.
They don't take Kershaw anymore.
Yeah,
he's retired.
That's one of them. Let's see.
I mean, think about how excited we were to finally get Eric Hosmer's
like 13 mil
off the books.
We're like, woo, we're free.
Kirby Yates, Michael Conforto, Chris Taylor. Did they re-sign Taylor?
He went to the Angels.
Oh, that's right. He already left. Yep. No one you saw in the playoffs.
No,
almost at
that
all.
Really helped them at all. 80 mil.
Yeah.
It's good. It's nice that they caught a break. You know, Katie Wu will tell us all about it. So. And her next piece for The Athletic.
All right, final timeout here with Ben and Woods. We'll come back. If you want to get to a little more football talk, we talked a lot about the Big Ten Championship. There were some other big college football games over the weekend. We can get to some of that and more before we get to 10 o'clock with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3.
Spin it.
The Fan. Oh, you want to spin it too? We can do that. First, before traffic, I want to tell you about Prize Picks, my daily fantasy spot. So many different ways to play with Prize Picks now with all the games on televisions, and you're already watching them anyway. Why not have a chance to win some real money with Prize Picks, setting daily fantasy lineups between 2 and 6 players? So here's how it works. If you want to set a small lineup, like a 2-player lineup, you can win. You can win a little bit more than what you put into your lineup, or you can go big. Put 6 players into a lineup, go with a power play, and win huge. Up to 2,000 times your money on one of those big lineups. Or you can go with a flex play, where maybe you set a lineup of 5 players. You only need to win 4 of those to actually win money with a little bit less of a payout. That's just how you tailor it for yourself. Whatever you're watching, you combine sports, basketball, football, hockey, even. Whatever you're watching, you've got ways to play with Prize Picks. You can do it today. When you download the Prize Picks app, use the code KWFN. You're going to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's code KWFN to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Deposits and withdrawals are easy with most major pay systems today, like Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, whatever. And when you win, you can get your money out really quickly. I've done it a few times, 10, 15 minutes. It's in back in your account. So I love that about Prize Picks. You can check it out as well. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think I've ever seen Woods as passionate about a sports take as he is about defending Notre Dame's decision
to
not go to a
ball game. Everything's equal in college football, and these little teams, they have a legit beef, and they're not the same. It's not the same.
It's
you get used for 6 weeks. Six! You're with some girl, and you fall head over heels, and she goes, I love you. Oh, my God, I love you. You're the best. You're the highest ranked I've ever had. I love you so much. Your wedding day comes, she goes, actually, yeah, I'm going to marry your brother. You still come to the wedding?
You're not getting back with that girl no matter what.
Will you still come to the wedding?
You're only hurting yourself by going forward.
Will you perform the ceremony after I told you for 6 weeks how much I loved you and you were the one? Will you please come? Will you do the ceremony? Crazy.
I don't know why you wouldn't want to see Notre Dame play one more time.
Because I don't. Because half the team's not going
to
play.
Fine, but isn't it a good thing to get some of your underclassmen some playing time?
I trust the coaching staff will have them ready to go for week one.
I don't know. Speaking of bowl games, the Aztecs got their bowl game announced. They will be playing in the New Mexico Bowl against pretty good opponent, 25th-ranked North Texas. That game will be on December 27th. Aztecs will get tested against one of the better offensive teams in the group of five. They were the runners-up in the AAC, lost to Tulane in the championship game over the weekend, but a chance for a 10th win for Sean Lewis's team. And they also got some bad news. I don't know, bad news or just news over the weekend, but Nebraska is hiring away their defensive coordinator, Rob Orrick, who had such a good season at San Diego State, so they're going to need a new DC next season for Sean Lewis because Nebraska...
Oh, he's gone.
Yeah, they came poaching after the good season for San Diego State's defense.
That's a, you know, as much as it sucks, that's a plus. That's a check mark. That's a check mark.
It does show that you're making progress. Yeah. You didn't lose your head coach, but you are losing your defensive coordinator to another job. So they'll have to hire a new one. They will face North Texas, the Mean Green, in the New Mexico Bowl. And it's a good time slot. It's a Saturday afternoon, the 27th, 2:45 on ESPN. Or maybe they should just not play and protest ESPN's college football playoff selection of Notre Dame.
They could.
Stand Stab, solidarity
have,
yeah, with
have
Notre
a,
Dame.
Have a firm stance on it.
That'd be a bad idea.
He'd be the biggest union buster in the history. If we ever had a radio union, this dude would be kicking his way to the front to run through the barricades. Not me! Don't count me in!
I'm not
like them! Yeah. I'm not like them. What are you offering? I'll take it. I want it. I need it. We're like, no, dude, we need you here. Brothers in arms. No, no. No, no. As he pushes us out of the way, Paulie, kicks the barricade down and runs inside to the safe cover.
I'm just thinking you might be sad when New Year's rolls around and your team's not playing.
Ben, I'll be drunk on New Year's, hate watching football. I will be so good. I will be so happy. It's like when the Padres get knocked out in the first round. You're like, all right, I'm watching every
pitch.
I hate every pitch. I don't miss a thing. My mental health will be much better. I don't have to worry about it. Last year was awesome, you know, beating IU and Georgia and it was awesome. It was awesome. It was great. It was a fun run. But this year I'll just get to twirl my mustache and watch. Just watch.
Who do you think's going to win? Anybody? Just quickly.
Ohio
on
State.
Yeah.
You still think Ohio State?
They're so good. And I know they lost to Indiana, and Indiana played a great game, but I still think it's Ohio State's to lose.
Your Texas Tech Red Raiders.
That's who I'll be pulling for the most.
A lot of under the radar, kind of like, oh, what? This is a team that is really, really good.
Strangely
they spent
enough,
a ton on their roster this offseason.
Let me say this. I think Miami's going to win a couple games. They are nasty. They are nasty. They are motivated. This last 6 weeks or something.
They can beat Texas A&M for sure.
No question. And I think
But then they play Ohio State. So I don't know that they can win that one.
But they look mean. They look nasty. Like the Canes that I grew up watching, holy smokes, right? Like, yes, he was part of those Canes I grew up watching. Paulie, they look pretty good. So I like some of these matchups. I do. I mean, the bottom ones are going to be pretty rough, but that happens.
I mean, the most interesting one, I think, will be if Alabama beats Oklahoma. They'd play Indiana in the Rose Bowl.
Be awesome.
which would be, I think, a real interesting game.
He's so good.
I'd love to see an Indiana just smoke Alabama.
Oh, so would I. So would I.
We can be aligned there.
Yes, we will. We'll be aligned for a lot of these.
We will be.
Yeah, because your team never makes it, and my team got shafted. So,
all right, let's check traffic, and then we can spin the topic wheel at least once before we get out of here on 97.3 The Fan.
One of life's questions here: why do round pizzas come in square boxes?
Is this an existential question?
No, I think a round box would be really hard to make. Kind of. Don't you?
There's no such thing as a round box, right? A box
is
a shape.
Inherently square,
right?
Of some sort. I mean, there is obviously unused space in the corner of a pizza
right.
box.
Wait, what's the question?
Why do they put round pizzas in square boxes?
Do you have an answer?
No, I don't.
It's easier to stack, I think, boxes that aren't circles, right?
The corners help you pick up the pieces from the crust side. It gives you a little room
in the corner to start there.
You can just make a bigger circle, though, but then it slides around.
You always start with the one from the corner because it's easier to pick up.
If you have for packaging,
like some pepperoncinis or some ranch dip or something, there's a spot in the corner.
Would more square pizzas and square boxes make sense?
But they do make square pizzas and they put them in square boxes, and it doesn't seem to hurt anybody that there's more pizza in the box per square.
Somebody says because the unfolded boxes before they're made, they lay flat.
Yeah. Well, would a circular? You couldn't do that. Would it not lay
pop
flat
it up,
as well?
Have the little tabs or whatever. You kind of pop it.
I think you could do it. I hate that question because it's like now I'm looking for a deeper meaning.
There's probably a real answer to that question, and we're just kind of speculating with our uneducated minds about why pizza boxes are square.
Yeah.
Do you care what the shape of your pizza is?
No.
Like square pies, like tavern pies?
Yeah, I don't care.
You don't mind?
No.
Once you eat it, it all tastes the same.
Yeah, I have pizza preferences.
I don't love how pizza comes to the little point in the middle in the circle. That's a weird bite. Just the little tip of the pizza.
The first bite.
No, that's where you start. I usually start with a little corner of the crust.
That's psychotic behavior.
No, it's not.
You pick up the piece of pizza and eat it from the side.
A little corner.
You also eat your candy cane
We already went through
the long way, right?
You put the hook in your mouth.
No, you don't. You hold the hook. The hook is there for a holding.
I think that's the insane
and
behavior.
You suck the bottom part first. The hook is for you to hold it and to hook on things. So you take a piece of pizza out of any box. You hold it up. You put your finger, your hand underneath
it. Two hands on it. And then
you
go for the
side.
Crust corner. Because I don't like to be left with just the crust at the end. But
I like
the crust a lot. So I enjoy
just
that
the crust
first.
At the end.
I like it when it's as hot as
you eat side bite first?
The cheese is usually too hot. Like, it's so melty, but if you go with the bready crust part, you've got less cheese and sauce, so it doesn't burn your mouth as quickly.
Yes, Gonzo. Ben does not eat it from behind, Gonzo. He eats it from the side.
Look at the back
which
side.
Which is a different
back
way to
corner.
Eat it. The back corner fade is what you do.
that little tiny point never has more than, like, one topping on it. So you've got maybe, like, a piece of olive or something there. But if you had like three or four toppings, you don't get them all in that first bite anyway, because there's not enough room on the little point of the pizza.
I can honestly say I've never seen someone eat a pizza from the side.
Yeah.
I take it and I get that first bite and then I just work down.
Your kids eat hot dogs from the side, which is
that's
even weirder.
That's true.
It depends.
I go
on the
skinny to fat.
It depends
how you
on
do
the
it.
Pizza for me, but there's a good chance I'll have a side of ranch with my pizza.
Right.
I never was that guy growing up, and then I started pizza with ranch. So like I'll start because the top of the triangle, the point or whatever, it's so easy to dip that first bite.
Yeah,
and then get a little ranch, and then you work it down to the crust, and then it's like a breadstick to dip into the ranch.
Do you eat your burrito in the middle first? Psychotic.
Ben eats like a corn on the cob.
Do you guys like when they, like a breakfast burrito, when they cut it in half? Because I really do. When they cut it at an angle.
Some people love that.
I love that because I can hold it and dip it. You know, you dip the corner again in.
Yeah.
But I don't, you don't,
you,
you get a
dip your burritos?
Yeah, if I'm dipping it in salsa.
See, now I always just pour a little bit of salsa onto each bite.
I like to regulate.
See, I'll take the full burrito that's uncut. I'll take one bite without salsa to create a trough, and then I pour the salsa.
Do you prefer cut or uncut?
I prefer uncut, because I want to make my own troughs with my mouth.
Save that. You eat it from the side, really?
Just a couple bites, just to get it started. I love the warm crust of a pizza. And I don't see, like, Paulie, if you wait until the end,
Cole says, good God.
You've got a breadstick, but it's kind of a cold breadstick at that point. It's no longer a hot breadstick. I like the hot crust.
Why do we wait till 9:50 for this? I'm certain I've eaten pizza with you before. I've never seen him. I would have said something if he took up pizza
and bit from the side. When I'm with other company and I'm self-conscious, I may eat it the normal way.
Normal.
But when I'm just doing it by myself, I turn it around and I eat it from the back corner crust first.
The back corner fade. Back corner fade is the perfect way to...
It's a triangle. They're all 3 points. What does it matter which point you start with?
I don't know.
You're starting at a point anyway. I just start with one of the other points.
It's really, again, the crust is used as a handle. It's a handle just like the hook is.
I leave some of the crust as a handle. I don't eat all of the crust to begin with. I start at a corner, and then I work my way down to the point, and then I still have the handle at the end that I finish all the way back up the other side.
All right, extravaganza, order a pizza. And I got to see this absolute menace eat this thing from the side. That is so good. How do you eat a square piece of pizza? You just crumble it up and throw it in your mouth?
Square is easy. You just eat it.
Crumble it up in a ball and throw it in your mouth. Oh, that was outstanding. Why again? 9:52. Did we have to wait for that? I could have done that all day.
I think we need to make a new rule. Pending if we have a guest or not, like, we need to just start doing the topic wheel at like 7:45.
Every day. Just to see if some of that gold comes out.
It can carry us into 8 o'clock. Like, you're right.
Yeah, that was great.
A lot of mileage out of that one.
You prefer it uncut and to eat it from the side. Got it.
Uncut burrito. Yeah.
Got it.
All right, that's it for us today.
My God.
Mercifully.
More of Sam Levitt and all the shows coming up live from baseball's winter meetings. Do not miss it. We will have him on tomorrow morning with any overnight developments as well from Orlando. For executive producer Paul Reindl and Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Monday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.